Hey y'all, how's it going? This is Naudo's interlude featuring, and I guess this is the interlude interviews with your host Naoto Wakabayashi, and today I got a very, very special guest with me, the wonderful, the amazing Jay Monet.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going? How have you been this morning?
I'm good. I'm chill. Had a nice sleep last night. Absolutely. Nice and rested.
Yeah, as you should be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much for letting us do this in your home, basically.
Of course. My pleasure.
Yeah, no, this is amazing. And again, thank you so much for being on this podcast as well.
Of course. Really appreciate it. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, let's get into it. So I guess we met at one of your shows.
Yes. We did.
That's it was this female R&B showcase. It was incredible, but if you guys didn't have a chance, and if you guys are around Vancouver, I would highly recommend going to one of your shows.
Oh, thank you.
Like, it's such an incredible and captivating experience.
Oh.
That it made me a fan that day.
Yay.
So,
and here we are now.
And here
right?
we are now.
It was
meant
to
exactly.
Be.
It was meant to be. Exactly. So, I guess where I want to start off with all of this is, how'd you get started in music? Tell me a little bit about the beginnings of your musical journey.
Okay. Well, I've been singing since I apparently was two.
Okay.
I've been performing since I was five. So I kind of just came into this world singing. Yeah. Like, I don't remember not singing.
Okay.
So it's kind of just been such like a clear path mm-hmm. for me. When I was younger, I did a lot of, mm-hmm. you know, different shows around town. I grew up in a small town on the Sunshine Coast, okay. Half Moon Bay.
Yeah.
So really small town vibes. There wasn't much going on, you know, performance wise.
Right.
So I just kind of did everything I could, like Christmas pageants, talent shows, church performances, little competitions that came through town.
Mm-hmm.
And that kept me really active.
For sure.
And then I moved to the mainland just before I went into high school.
Mm-hmm.
And once I came over to the mainland, that's when things kind of started to pick up a bit. There was more to do, more competitions. So I did a lot of competitions. I worked with a couple singing coaches and things just kind of kept like slowly growing.
Yeah.
And then I just kept like working away with that. And I went away to university.
Mm-hmm.
I did some singing there. I was actually at UVic and I did UVic Idol and I ended up winning that.
Oh, dope.
And through that, someone approached me and they're like, you know what? You know, you could probably, you should definitely do this, as a career. Like, why kind of are you going to school when you could be singing?
Yeah. And what were you studying?
So I was actually studying English. So creative writing.
Cool.
I was doing a lot of theater classes, mm-hmm. speech classes, mm-hmm. painting classes, art classes. So it was actually like a really amazing time.
Right.
A lot of journalism classes and classes that I've actually really used in my singing, like
mm-hmm.
with my writing
mm-hmm.
and so I really value my time at university, but I decided to you know, not finish the degree just because my music was starting to pick up. I was doing a lot of cover gigs around
mm-hmm.
town and next thing you know, I was doing, you know, like three gigs a week and it was just getting a little bit busy and I had to make a decision like, okay, I can't do school 50% and music 50%. So I decided to just throw myself into music because I mean, it's my love. So
I
decided to do that, it took me to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
in Toronto, I was singing as a backup singer. I was working with a producer really consistently. And then I decided to come back to Vancouver and really just like develop as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I met Victor, my manager.
Yeah, shouts out to Victor.
Yeah, shout outs, Victor.
Salute.
He's just chilling in the back.
For making this happen. Yeah.
And then that's when things really started to take off because mm-hmm. I kind of took some time and really defined my sound, defined who I am as an artist, and just kind of dug deep. And just because I've been performing and singing for so long, I've done like every genre. I've been on the stage mm-hmm. so much and it's been difficult for me to kind of like narrow myself down into a box that the, you know, fits in the music industry, like a genre and a tone and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm still working on it. It's a work in progress, but I'm very close.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where
to finally find it, like to sort of narrow it down,
exactly.
right? Because I find that like you're probably just your love for music stems from you exploring different aspects of it all throughout your life. And now I guess the challenge right now is for you to be like, okay, what is Jay Monet?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So what was Toronto like for you? It must have been hella cold, right? Like,
it was actually so cold. Yeah. I got there in March and I thought it wasn't gonna be cold still. And it was literally like minus 10 or minus 15 and I literally had a leather jacket. Like I just brought a leather jacket.
Oh my God.
And I didn't know anyone there. Yeah. And it was a really, when I got there, it was like very cold, very lonely. Yeah. And I kind of left on a whim. Yeah. So there wasn't a ton of planning going into it. Right. I ended up getting really lucky, which lucky is kind of like a funny word because it's kind of, I don't necessarily believe in luck. I believe in hard work, meeting opportunity.
Right.
But I met someone in my first week while I was in Toronto who really introduced me to, he was really like established in the music scene. So I was able to get a job backup singing through him. And I was backup singing for a rock band, indie rock band that was doing really well at the time. And it was just an amazing experience kind of, you know, going through with them to their different shows. They were kind of doing like this local tour through like the greater Toronto area. So I got to sing on like a lot of exciting stages with them. And, but yeah, Toronto was a lot. Like I imagined like what Toronto is. I thought New York would be like, like it was just, it's just like hustle and bustle. Like people
going places, having things to do. Like, every minute is scheduled.
Exactly. Yeah. Like everything is like chop, chop, chop. Like the West Coast is just so chill. Yeah. Like it's like,
especially
it's crazy what a difference there is.
100%. Like, could you imagine if like a cold frost happened in this city?
Oh my God.
People would just be inside.
People would just be inside.
Yeah. But with Toronto, and I found this to be the case in Montreal as well. I went to school in Montreal. I lived out there for 4 years. People are active in the wintertime.
Yes.
And it's crazy. How long were you in Toronto for?
I was there for 6 months.
6 months. Okay.
Yeah, so not you, like a crazy amount of time.
Yeah. But you were at least around during the summertime.
Oh my gosh.
Which must have been insane.
Yes.
Yeah. I find that like people emotionally hibernate.
Yes. 100%.
In the summer. Throughout the year. In the summertime, that's when
things just pop off.
Everything pops
off. Yes.
More so than in the wintertime.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Is there an aspect of your journey through Toronto that helped shape your sound today? Or,
Definitely. Yeah. Like, Toronto was, it was a really, like, exciting time because I was doing a lot with music and I was working really consistently with an amazing producer out there who is more, like, in the rock field.
For sure.
So I ended up finding myself writing, like, a lot of, like, indie rock and rock music just because I was singing backup for a rock band and working with a rock producer. Right. So my music kind of reflected my surroundings.
Absolutely.
And I think, like, when I was in Toronto, like, because I didn't know anyone and I was just kind of thrust into this music world, like my whole life was music. Like I didn't have someone to just be like, hey, do you want to go get a coffee? You know? So it was a really difficult time for me.
Right.
And I definitely shaped who I am now just because I got to a point where I was like, okay, wow. Like I'm really lonely. It's cold. Like, and then summer comes and like, that's its own thing too, because it's like they say in Toronto, like spring kind of happens overnight because it was like one day it was like minus 10. And then the next day it's like 36 degrees and everyone's like hot and sweaty and frustrated. And I remember one day, like I got off the bus in Toronto and it was so hot and everyone was just like so grumpy. And I'm like, I like applaud everyone that lives on the East Coast. Like it is intense.
It's so intense. And I can't imagine, because I think in Montreal, it's a little bit more of like a slow burn in terms of the temperature change. It's very, I mean, it's quick, but it's more gradual.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember there was one day where it was like it was like during the wintertime where it's like minus 30. And one day it was like 12 degrees and everybody was in shorts, including myself.
Yes.
Because of like the relative temperature change.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine the jump to like 30 degrees.
Oh, you know my God. Saying? It was just like crazy. But so it kind of, it definitely started the process of me thinking like, okay, like what do I actually want?
Right.
And I actually left Toronto and came back to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to quit music. Like, I was like, I'm done. Way. Like, I thought it wasn't for me. I was like, because it was so intense when I was in Toronto, and it was just so full on. I found like, I almost lost myself.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just need to lose yourself in order to find yourself again.
For sure. Definitely. You know? Definitely.
So I came back with the intention of actually just not, like, just not singing. Mm-hmm. But obviously, like, my, you know, I ended up still booking gigs and still singing. Right. So I think in my heart of hearts, I knew I wasn't going to quit.
Yeah.
I just had to tell myself that I was going to quit.
Right.
And it was the best thing that I could have done, because once I made the decision to quit, I started doing gigs that were just for fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I started, cause I was singing in like a backup singer, and I previously was, had kind of like a cover band going on. Mm-hmm. So I was really like singing to make my bread and butter. Mm-hmm. And it just put too much pressure like on my passion. Yeah. So once I came home and I decided to take a step back, then I was actually able to like kind of create freely and have fun with it again, which is so important to me, because now I know, I'm like, okay, like I need to be able to do what feeds my soul, which is like create freely, do the shows that like I want to do. So yeah, it taught me so much. I think it's important to kind of put yourself out of your comfort zone. And that's what Toronto was for me. And I've made so many like amazing now, like friendships. I look back and I'm like, wow, like I was growing a lot of friendships and it was just kind of hard at the initial, the beginning. But now since like I've been back a couple times, and it's like its own home for me in itself. I go there to get stuff done. Like I go to work, you know?
No, that's actually really amazing though, that, you know, there's a moment in time where the love was completely taken out of it. You know what I mean? Like through, I guess like through the capitalistic and just, I don't know, the very, the capitalistic aspect of it, but then also I guess the politicking side as well. Like,
definitely,
is that something that you're not necessarily down for, or
it's just hard.
Sure.
There's so much politics in every you know, like in music and every
field.
In every field, exactly. 100%. So
well, with music, it can be like, sometimes it might not be genuine, and that's where it gets draining.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, let's say with, the Summer Walker incident with her social anxiety, like as an artist who's experienced, you know, aspects of the music industry that are just extremely draining. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that situation?
With Summer Walker?
Yeah, with Summer Walker.
Oh, I'm so happy that she decided to cancel the rest of her tour.
I am
because too. Because that was the best decision for her. Yeah. And I'm actually, I love Summer Walker. And
I am as well,
And I've really like followed her journey. Mm-hmm. And I noticed like on a couple, like she did the BBC Live and she did... There was one other like, she did the Tiny Desk concert.
Yeah.
And I watched them and I was like, she's just, not that I know her personally, but I just felt like she wasn't herself. Like she wasn't comfortable.
Right, right.
And then all the stuff started coming out about the shows.
Definitely.
And I was like, you know what? She's got herself to a place where she can decide what her career is going to look like. Yes. Her fan base, like I'm there for her. Her fan base is there for her. So if she just wants to do like, 3 shows at a time, like a few shows in the States and then maybe come up to Canada or whatever. Right. Like she needs to do what's right for her.
Absolutely.
And whoever doesn't understand that is just like evil, because it's like,
no. And there, that's what Twitter and like Instagram made me realize. They're just a loud vocal, like,
oh, they're
group
out there,
of, just very evil
confused
people. Confused. Yeah. Confused and unhappy people.
Exactly.
Because I just don't know why you could hate against that, because for me, I was like super excited to go to her show and everything.
Yeah.
But when she made that announcement that week, I completely understood.
Yeah.
Because she needs to prioritize that over anything else. And like you said, she's at that point in her career where she has that cachet.
Exactly.
And she can do that. So why not? Right.
I mean, and the thing is, like, if she had made herself do the Vancouver show, it wasn't going to be like the quality that everyone had wanted.
Right.
It's not going to be the Summer Walker that we know and love and want, because it wasn't herself.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, she wasn't happy. So,
Although, man, I can't wait to like see her live one day, because
I know
You know what? Everybody complain. Well, not everybody, but they're like a group of people that complain about her just sitting in a stool and playing a guitar and singing the microphone. But I want to see that.
I know.
I want to experience her live vocals. It's not about her doing backflips.
Yeah.
And just like all these acrobatics. Like FKA Twigs,
it's not the same artist. It's not the same act. And I would love to see Summer Walker do like a more intimate show. Mm-hmm. Like Kendrick sometimes does these like really like living room shows almost.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's like, I can just see her in like Guilt and Co. or something.
Yes.
Like
yes, yes.
Just some, like a speakeasy kind of feel mm-hmm. where people are actually like listening. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's not like this club kind of, vibe where people are like, if people were sitting and like had a glass of wine, like that's where I want to experience Summer Walker, like
absolutely
kind of relaxed. Yeah. So hopefully she'll get there. Like she's on her way now.
100%. And I think, I mean, she's still so young, right? Like she's 23.
She's 23.
23. And I think she performed, like did her first like mini, it wasn't really a tour. Like it was maybe like a 3-show like run. Like she did that for the first time like last year.
Yeah.
Last year, and now she's doing a North American tour.
Yeah, like it just went like this.
Yeah,
it went
so fast. I understand that why it could be so overwhelming.
Oh my gosh!
So
yeah, and the funny thing is, she named the tour the first and last tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there, it was already she knew. She's like, "Okay, guys, I'll do it, but
I don't want to do it.
I don't want to do it."
Yeah. Initially, I thought, I was like, "Oh, maybe this is just a marketing ploy or something."
Yeah.
But like, maybe this is like marketing. And then, now that all this news has come out, I started thinking, "Oh, this is
for real.
This is for real.
Yeah.
You are for real about this,
is you.
And I understand, and I salute you for that."
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Let's rein it back a little bit. I want to talk to you about your project that just came out end of August.
Yeah.
So, Awake But Dreaming.
That's
Awake
Dreaming.
And Dreaming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's based off of a novel. Correct?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Look at you.
Thank you.
I'm so
impressed. Dip into my research.
Yes. Oh yeah. My gosh. Yes. Go. So
yeah. Tell me a bit about that novel and how it inspired the title and what it means to you.
So there's so many things that go into the title Awaken Dreaming. Yeah. We actually weren't sure what we were going to call the project for a long time. I knew it had to be something with dream.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of played around with that.
Yeah.
And then both Victor and I had actually read a novel. Like I read it way, way, way back when called Awaken Dreaming. And it's essentially about this girl who kind of is in this, in it, she forgets, she doesn't know if she's dreaming or if she's awake.
Right.
And she's kind of in this like magical kind of world, this like, and she's unaware, she doesn't know. She's lost the ability to recognize whether she's awake or dreaming.
Yeah.
So that's like very appropriate for what, you know, my life is, because half of the time I'm like, oh my gosh, like things have in the last 2 years really started to pick up for me. I've been to the States so many times now, and I've just debuted my first EP, like so it's been a dream for me, like literally something I've dreamed of since I was a kid, so there's that play. And then there's also like me, like I feel like artists, a lot of artists can relate, but sleep is like a funny thing for me. Like I deal with like a lot of nightmares. It's that creative mind. Like I know a lot of artists that also have nightmares, and I also like there a lot of my dreams, like I'm unaware if I'm awake or dreaming. So I'll think in the dream that I'm awake, or I'll be in the dream and know that I'm dreaming.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of this like kind of crazy like thing. So I was like, oh, it's such a perfect title because it just applies to my life in so many ways.
Right.
So that's kind of where the meaning is.
The inspiration is from. Came from. Okay. Yeah. No, that's kind of, cause I was, reading into the novel, well, reading the summary of the novel and just like listening to your project as well. And that was like basically my interpretation of that, is that you don't know if you're awake, you don't know if you're dreaming. It must be amazing to do this on this level, right? And to keep building momentum.
Yeah, I think that's what the most exciting thing about it is like I am for the first time, like I can see like the building blocks, and I can see them grow, and I can see the hard work starting to pay off. Yeah. And And it's just, it's beautiful because it's so encouraging.
Right.
So I'm at a point now where I'm just like, wow, like it's kind of like its own machine.
Right.
And it's just so much more than just me. Like I have this beautiful team and such a supportive team around me. And we're all in this together. And there's that team mentality, which I have never had before.
Right.
So it makes it just so much more enjoyable, and it makes the successes so much sweeter because you're sharing them with people you love.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like it's a magical time for me right now. Like I'm loving life.
Especially compared to, you know, being out in Toronto by yourself and just trying to tackle this on as an independent artist.
Like
now this must be really enjoyable for you, right?
It's you know what, now I can look back at that experience and be like, okay, well, you have to have the lows because now I can appreciate the highs and I'm in a beautiful time in life and I wouldn't necessarily like be able to appreciate it as much if I didn't have those times in Toronto. Yeah. So, and now I'm like, you know what, I am a strong independent woman. Like,
there you go. Yeah.
After Toronto, I'm like, I can face anything.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real. Yeah. Like
all the adversity.
Yes, exactly.
Do you write better or do you create music better when you're in this happy, content mental space or when you're more down, let's say the Toronto situation?
Well, I'd love to say that I create better when I'm in a happy space, but realistically when something like happens that kind of shakes my world or makes me like emotional. Yeah. Like that's, I mean, this whole project, Awakened Dreaming, came out at a time where I wasn't feeling like as kind of leveled and in this space now. Right. So, and that's, I feel like such the case with like a lot of artists. It's, it's unfortunate that the art kind of comes out when we're in our low moments.
Yeah, not in the best mental space, you know?
Yeah. So it fuels the kind of the creative.
Yeah. I mean, so. I think I heard I don't know where I read this, but I think I read something that was like, the best art happens when there's no other way to express it.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Like, other than the music. So,
exactly.
You know, like I always say that music's therapeutic, not only for the listener, but especially for the musician. Right?
Oh my gosh. So, yeah. If you're doing it right, then like if the artist is doing it right, then it should be a therapeutic thing for you.
Yeah.
For you. You know,
no, for sure.
Like some part of the recording process or the writing or the performing should be a creative outlet.
No, definitely. So definitely. One song that really resonated with me on this project was A Type.
Oh yeah.
Right. Like that song was like, cause man, all I'm saying is that like every time I get in a long, like relationship situation, it's always the wrong type. And it's like, it's fascinating because we know that that person isn't the best person for us, but then we end up going through with it anyways. Yes. And towards the end, we're just like, why is this kind of person my type?
Yes. So
that's basically the gist of that song.
Yeah. Right? You hit it on the head. Like it's,
thank you. Yeah.
It's just, I'm talking about the type that I'm constantly seeing in my life. And the whole song is kind of like, if you watch the video and if you listen, if you read the lyrics, like it's almost like a loop, like it's like this deja vu. Right. Like I'm talking about constantly seeing this type of person. I'm like, have we met before?
Yeah.
Or am I just reading your red flags or what's going on here? So for me, like my type, like I actually have kind of like two types. There's the type that I date, which is usually I date like good guys.
Yeah.
And then there's the other type, the in between, that I'm like, why am I attracted to these like red flags?
Yeah.
Like
red flag ridden like people.
Exactly. So that's what this song is about, is kind of like those in between people that kind of come into my life. And I'm like, wait a second. Like, why am I going back to this certain type when they're not necessarily good for me?
Right.
So it's kind of like that.
And it's like exploring, it's exploring that. Right.
Exactly.
And then, No, I mean, it's, that's the first step of all of this, right? Is acknowledging it.
Oh, so you said it.
Yeah.
The truth.
Exactly. But, so how'd you end up meeting your band? Because.
It kind of all happened randomly.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been, you know, searching for these people like my whole life. Mm-hmm. Like I always knew that I was going to find a team that was going to like be with me all the way.
Right.
And it's taken a really, you know, I've taken my time kind of choosing the right people. Mm-hmm. And it kind of has all fallen into place. Mm-hmm. So first I met Victor a couple of years ago, two-ish years ago, two and a half, I guess. But I had just come back from Toronto. Mm-hmm. And I was actually just, you know, I decided to quit music and I met this wonderful girl who was throwing some showcases around town.
Yeah.
And she was like, hey, do you want to like be in, you know, some of these showcases? Mm-hmm. And it's just for fun. So I started doing them and started performing and kind of met her crowd. And I was like, wow, like this is, I'm having fun again. Yeah. I performed a lot at the Alexander.
Yeah.
Shout out to Rest the Alexander. In peace, the Alexander. I know, right?
That was a, I know. That was actually a really good venue.
Oh my God. I literally don't even know how many times I performed there. Probably like five or six times. So it was just an amazing venue for like local artists.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it was just so cool to perform there with the different levels. Anyways, so I was working with this girl and she kind of took a step back from music, but she introduced me to Victor in the meantime. Right. So once I met Victor, like I knew, I was just like, wow, like he is as passionate about the business side of music as I am the music side of music. And I had kind of been doing everything myself. So I was like, you know what? It'll be nice to hand off the businessy kind of things to him so that I can focus on the creative.
Yeah.
So once, you know, I started working with him, he introduced me to Evan, which is the producer that I'm working with. And he produced most of the tracks on, Awaken Dreaming.
Yeah. He couldn't be there for the show, right? Like,
for Railway, he was actually, in Nicaragua. He was filming.
Yeah.
He wasn't there, but he's going to be at the shows from now
on.
So.
Okay.
So I met him and started working with him. And I actually started working with his brother as well, Messiah, who is another artist in town. And Messiah kind of spent hours and hours and hours with me in the studio, really just teaching me once I had decided to go into R&B, really just teaching me like different flows and just sitting with me and working on my writing. Yeah. And so I was working with Messiah as well as Evan, who goes by IR Evan.
Okay.
And we were like, wow, okay, we have this amazing team going on. We really need a like live musician, like someone that can play a music like instrument really well.
Right.
And literally like a week and a half later, Evan came to us and he's like, I found the perfect guy. And his name's Jasper.
Jasper. Oh, man.
Yeah. And you've met Jasper.
Out. Yeah.
Shout out to Jasper. So Jasper came into our life and then like literally we met and then within, you know, a couple of months we had written the EP Awaken Dreaming. So it happened really fast. Like we met Jasper and it was like, go, go, go. Yeah. We finished the EP and then we, booked some shows for Canadian Music Week in Toronto.
Oh, cool.
So we were off to Toronto, came back, finished the EPs or finished the EP, shot a couple of videos, did a bunch of like promo shoots. And then when we were pretty much like off to the States. So it has been really fast paced ever since we all kind of came together as a team.
Yeah.
Which is a good feeling.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's kind of like the, how I met Evan and Jasper. And now we're still, we're building the band still.
Right.
We love Chris Wong, otherwise known as Zuki for bass. He's just amazing.
Yeah, no, he's super cool
guy.
Yeah,
you met him too, right? Yeah.
Very briefly, but super cool.
He's always smiling. He's good vibes.
No, I mean, just seeing you, Jasper, Chris Wong on stage, like, I was, that chemistry was just, it was incredible. And it was amazing to see that you guys recently, you know, got together.
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
relatively recently. And to see it all like gel in that way.
Yeah.
Like that's the part where I was just like, oh man, these guys are about to take it to that next level, you know?
Thanks.
So and you guys all went to ATL and LA.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
How was that? Like why'd you guys go to ATL and LA?
So I had a show in Atlanta and two shows in LA. Mm-hmm. I performed at A3C Festival in Atlanta, which is a festival and conference.
Yeah.
So I absolutely like love Atlanta. It's my favorite city I've been to in the States. Yeah. It's just like, have you been before?
I've never been. I've always wanted to. I was going to go this year for the Revolt Summit Atlanta, but I definitely want to visit like early next year.
Yeah.
And like see some friends I haven't seen and like network and just all that.
All of the above. Yeah. It's just a crazy energy there.
Yeah.
And just around A3C, the festival and conference, like it's just like, it's insane. Like you wake up, you go to the conference, you're there all day, you're networking. And then at night there are different showcases and shows. So I was a part of the festival.
Right.
So I had a gig there and it was honestly like one of my favorite gigs I've done, just because I was just blown away by the support in Atlanta for live music.
Yeah.
Like I would literally meet people at the conference or on the street and people would just, I would be like, hey, come to my show. Like I have a showcase. And then people actually showed up.
What?
So it was just insane. Cause I was like shocked. Yeah. I was looking out as I was singing and I was like, oh my gosh, there's like so-and-so and this person I met and people like, I met like one time and they actually made the effort to come out.
Yeah.
Which is like, I've never experienced that before because you know, in Canada, it's kind of like, I'm not going to speak for every, cause I've only performed in Toronto and BC.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like pulling teeth a little bit to get like people that have never heard your music, like
to come through,
to come out and support.
Yeah.
So it was just an insane experience and the energy was just crazy. And everyone that performed my night, it was all females. Well, there was a couple guys, but everyone was just so amazing. Like the artistry is just like, I was just blown away. And then we went to LA after for a couple showcases there at Hotel Cafe.
Okay.
And the energy there is crazy too. Yeah. Like both places, like especially LA is just like work, work, work. Like we really soaked up every opportunity that we could. I was constantly, I worked with so many producers down there. I was in, movement sessions with my movement coach, Carlina Britt.
Right.
And yeah, it was just like a really busy, amazing kind of time. And LA is its own, you know,
it's crazy.
Thing in itself.
Yeah. And I mean, would you end up living out there to pursue this music thing or do you want to go somewhere a bit more low key?
Well, I mean, okay. So the thing is realistically, like, you know, I'm going to have to spend some time in LA. Like I've actually been to LA 2 or 3 times a year for chunks of time for the last like 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years now. So it's I have my love and my hate for this city.
Right, right.
I'm at a good place with it now because I've really like peeled back the layer and and because you really have to work through the kind of surface level fakeness of LA.
Oh, definitely.
No hate,
definitely.
Just saying.
I mean, yeah, no, it's true though.
It's true.
Very true. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
You gotta chisel through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I find that there's, when I went to LA, I mean, it was great. Like I love the energy, that everybody was bringing, but then I just found that people are just smiling in your face constantly.
Yeah.
So it's like,
and everybody's someone.
Yeah.
Everybody does something. Everybody, and then you look into it and you're like, wait, there's no proof. There's nothing that connects you with this artist that apparently you manage and you market for this person.
So
and it's like,
much,
where's the receipts? Where's the proof? Like,
so much cap.
Yeah.
Way too much cap.
Exactly.
More cap than a Lids warehouse store. Like it's crazy. Like, no, like I remember, no, okay. I don't want to talk shit about like the people that I met, but there were
no people
like that. You know what I mean? Like, but at the same time, you can meet some people that are somebody and are super genuine and sweet.
Yes.
Like I remember I met this artist named Garen and he works with like Eric Bellinger. Like he's actually touring with like Eric Bellinger and Ye Ali. And like he has,
he's legit.
He's legit. Got the blue check and everything on IG. And I just met him
so
at
there
this
you
like
go. The blue check's a good sign.
Yeah. Although we shouldn't put too much stock in that.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, he was just a sweet, like, super down to earth guy. And like I just met him at this party, and then he was like, I was like, oh, you make music? He said, yeah. I asked him if I could check it out. He gave me his profile. I was like, oh shit.
You're like, okay, yeah, you're
like,
the real deal.
Okay, you're the real deal. All right. But
it's like 1 in 10 people.
Literally, yeah, 1 in 10, 1 in 20. Like it's a very, very rare thing. So.
Yeah, agreed. But you know what? Yeah. Once you like peel back that layer of people and you find like the hard workers.
Yeah.
And I work with a producer who actually produced Separate Lives on Awaken Dreaming.
Oh,
his name's Taylor Graves.
Yeah.
So he lives down there and he's like born and raised in LA. Mm-hmm. So he like really gave me a view of the city that I didn't have before. Like he introduced us to like a lot of people and he just like, he hated that I had that image of LA. So he kind of worked, you know, to show me that that's not the case for everyone.
Yeah,
so
now
I know I'm like, okay, like I could actually live there for chunks of time.
Right.
But Vancouver will always be my base.
Yes.
And I will go where I need to from here. I love to travel, and I'm like, I can't, I have a hard time like staying in one place for more than a handful of months.
Yeah, same here. Yes, unfortunately.
So, no, I think it's a good thing.
It is. It keeps us on our toes. Absolutely.
And, like,
absolutely.
Keeps things fresh.
Yeah. I just find that like with me, like I wasn't planning on staying in Vancouver for this long. Like,
okay.
It became like a 1 year thing because I just got so indecisive with like, oh, I'm going to move to Tokyo or
I'm
going to move to LA or whatever. Like, but yeah, I just ended up spending more time here. So that's why I say it's kind of like a bad thing. Cause then if I knew I was going to stay here for this long, I would have just like, now that I know that like plans aren't like set in place. So wherever I am, just like make 120%. Of that situation.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So
yeah, love it. That's a great mindset to have.
100%. Did LA, like, did those trips change your sound or like have they affected your sound yet?
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%. Okay. It's pretty funny. Like I was working on a lot of music before I went and, I look back now. I mean, that was only like, that was September and now it's, you know, almost December, but I have grown so much writer.
It's only a quarter, like a 4 month period, three months.
But like, man, let me tell you, like it is like, my writing has just grown a lot. Like, cause I was writing with so many incredible producers in LA, like producers that have already like established themselves and done really incredible things with their career. So they're like at a level, like they're like here. Mm-hmm. And just to be able to work with them was just like such a learning experience. So yeah, I've definitely grown and like, I definitely feel like I've defined my sound like even more.
Right.
I've chiseled it down even, you know, like it's a little bit more.
So
yeah, it's definitely like it's changed everything. Mm-hmm. It's, those kind of trips where you're really just kind of like thrown into it. It's kind of, the change is inevitable just because it's so much happening. It's so busy. You're working with so many inspiring people. Yeah. So I came out of it like, wow, like I got exactly what I wanted from the trip. And I knew exactly what I needed to work on. Like it was, there was a very clear message for me throughout the trip. So it was amazing. Like I came back and I was like, okay, well now it's, there's a direction and there's things, I know exactly what I need to work on. And so it was very like impactful that way for sure.
No, that's amazing that those two trips have shaped you in this way. And I mean, this is a bit sort of unrelated to all of that, but you got to meet SZA as well.
Oh my gosh.
You met SZA in LA.
I met SZA.
What?
Okay.
Tell me about that.
That it was honestly insane because my friend, DJ Critical Hype, shout outs to DJ Critical Hype. He had just been at ComplexCon, I think it was, or was it Revolt Summit? Anyways, he was somewhere where she did a surprise. She came out onto a panel and surprised.
Yeah, that was a Revolt Summit.
Okay,
I was there for that, for the TDE one.
Yes.
It was amazing.
Yes.
It was so amazing.
Okay, so she was in LA and I was like, oh man, I was kicking myself because like I just love her so much.
Yeah.
I was like, I wish I had gone because like DJ Critical Hype really wanted us to go.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was like, man, I wish I had gone. But I actually had some family things go on and my aunt, my nana and my mom actually flew out to LA.
No way.
So I was with them and I just had to kind of prioritize like spending some time with them. And I was with them and I was walking down the street and I literally like I was walking down Sunset. It's like the middle of the day and I'm walking down the street and I look to my right and I see this girl and she's like my height. She's like looking fly. Like she's so cute. And I was like, oh my freaking gosh. Like that is SZA. And I did a double take. Yeah. And once I looked back at her, she was looking at me and she was kind of laughing. So I was like, okay, it's SZA because like, she's recognizing that I'm recognizing who she is. So she kind of like does this shot. She's like, hi. And I literally like fangirled out. I just was like, oh, I put my hands up to my face and I was like, I love you. Like I am such a huge fan. And I was so upset that I didn't come see you. Like you surprised everyone the other day and I wasn't there. And I'm just such a fan. And honestly, she was amazing. Like, yeah. she was so yeah. sweet. She was like yeah. going off. She was like, I love your outfit. You're so cute. Like, she was going off. And like, my mom and my aunt and my nana, you know, they're not yeah. necessarily with it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So they actually thought that it was like one of my friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she was with one, I think it was a security guard.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like there was like a mob of people around yeah. her. So they had yeah. no way of knowing that she was like actually this like idol of mine.
Yeah.
So we walked away yeah. from it. She and SZA was incredible. And yeah. she actually looked at my mom and she's like, girl, your glasses are fly. My mom was so like happy. Like, and she was just sweet. She was everything that I wanted her to be,
yeah,
which is just
sure.
awesome because sometimes sure. you don't know when you meet your idols. So.
Definitely.
And I walked away and then my aunt was like, oh, should I have introduced myself to your friend? And I was like, oh my God. I died because I was like, I would have loved, like, the thing is, yeah. SZA would have been so responsive if yeah. my aunt was like, hi, I'm Jade's aunt. Like, she would have been like, nice to meet you. Like, so it was just such a funny thing. And then I actually, wow. like, so we walked away yeah. from meeting SZA and we yeah. were walking to get a salad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting in the salad place. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if you know the comedian Chris, I think it's Delia.
Yes. Yeah. This guy's a big
okay,
fan.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, yeah. So he was sitting knows. Beside yeah. me. And I was like, whoa, like, and he was what? Like, he's, yeah. yeah. So I was like, that's crazy. And then we walked yeah. out from getting our salad
yeah.
and we look up like across the street and it's yeah. J-Lo, like freaking J-Lo. She's doing like this photo shoot, but she's,
that's
it's like
crazy.
So anyways, it was what? A very like intense half yeah. an hour. Cause it was like yeah, SZA, yeah. Chris D'Elia yeah. and then J-Lo to top yeah. it off. So yeah. yeah, my family was blown away cause oh, they had God. Just got to LA. So yeah. we're like, is this what it's like all the time? I was like, no, it's not like this all day.
No.
Actually, you know, you can see some people.
You can, but like a streak like that.
In half like, an hour? Like, yeah, no.
Oh my God.
So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you know what? It's like, it was probably better that you didn't go to the Revolt Summit
oh, yeah.
and had that interaction with SZA, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly. It was I'm very thinking, pure.
Yeah. Because I remember like at the summit, I mean, she's at the point where she doesn't have to like hang around at the end. And I'm sure for if she sure. did, like people would just
swarm.
Mob her.
Oh yeah.
So I'm kind of surprised that she could just be out there on Sunset and just like
honestly.
Casually walking with like one security
yeah.
personnel. Like that's,
I was shocked what? To be honest. Like she was yeah. by herself. Yeah. Like I was, yeah, yeah, it was kind of the perfect yeah. experience because yeah. I will, you know, hopefully we'll be on the same lineup one day at a festival or something.
Definitely.
But other than that, like yeah. there's not really an opportunity to meet her like in that
yeah.
setting
yeah.
without being like mobbed or yeah. swarmed by people. Yeah. So it was really beautiful. Yeah.
And
it was amazing.
It seems like you like took that interaction very, it was a very cool like way that you responded.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not like you were like, listen to my EP.
Oh,
like,
no.
Yeah, yeah,
I know everyone
yeah.
was like, oh, did you tell her you sang? And I was like, honestly, in the moment, like I was like,
right.
Oh, there's my dryer. Just
oh, no,
making
it's all good.
Stuff.
It's all good. No, it won't pick up. I don't think it'll pick up this.
Oh, okay.
I don't
well,
think it will.
You know, for the viewers, yeah. the dryer's going
exactly.
off. Anyways, yeah, like it was yeah. kind of so fast that
yeah.
I didn't even think, and I didn't want yeah. to be like, hey, listen to my music. Do you want to get in
thirsty.
A song together?
Oh,
like,
no. yeah.
yeah, come across yeah, thirsty because yeah. I know we're gonna be
right.
cross paths at
exactly.
different.
Exactly.
I mean, inevitably at different festivals, right. being both R&B singers,
right.
like. So I'm just, you know, I'll bring it up then, like when I meet her as a singer.
And that's the thing, like fate. Brought you guys to that moment.
Yes,
you know
exactly.
what I mean? So I'm sure it'll happen again. That's,
I think so.
God,
yeah.
That's such a beautiful moment that happened in LA.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
It was really cool for sure.
Who else has inspired you this year? Like, I know like Mariba had an incredible
oh
album
my
that came
God,
out.
I love her.
Mariba is
yeah,
amazing.
She's,
yeah,
she's, I actually just yeah. recently like even discovered mm-hmm. who she was mm-hmm. or is.
Yeah.
And I just fell in love. Like she's
yeah.
just, she really, what I really love in an artist
yeah.
is artists that aren't afraid to kind of like cross the line or just
mm-hmm.
cross genres
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And be experimentative and just like
yeah.
try new things.
Yeah.
So her project, like, you know, there's Highway 10,
yeah,
this song Highway 10, which even has like a little bit of country vibes
yeah,
it in
it. It kind of has like it kind of reminded me of like Joni Mitchell like,
yes.
a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just like applaud that
yeah.
because like it's not the safe thing to do. Yeah. It's what she obviously like had in her soul. Yeah. So I love that. Like, yeah, that song, Dodging the Devil, like she's beautiful. Like,
and she's a actually really incredible rapper too. And she only had like one rap verse on the project, but like another project, well, I haven't checked out her previous work, but I remember I checked out a song with her and Earth Gang, and she's just like rapping. Dope. Like she has a whole verse, but then she just reserves it for this like little small portion. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
I love that.
She's incredible, and I'm kind of bummed that I didn't see her when she came through to Vancouver with JID.
But you know what? Yeah. The thing is with shows, there will always be back and there will always be more. And it sounds like you travel, so you'll probably be in a city where she's performing at some point.
Hopefully we'll be able to run into each other. And hopefully I can get that interview off as well.
Oh, yeah? Oh, my gosh. I believe it.
Thank you. Do you like Snow Allegra's album that came out?
I really like Snow. Yeah. My one of my favorite artists of all time is Diana Gordon.
Okay.
So she actually came out with a single, Becoming, not that long ago. And if you haven't checked it out, you should definitely listen to it. It's like,
give it a go. Yeah.
She's incredible. Like her story is amazing. Like she's been in the music industry for like, I think over a decade now, but as like a writer and she, rebranded, I guess like a year and a bit ago.
Right.
And I also applaud her because she kind of goes across genres too. Like her project, Pure is one of my favorite projects ever of all time.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's rock at some points, and she sounds like Alanis Morissette at some points, but then she's kind of like rapping at some points, and like, and it's so seamless and it's just so unique to her.
Yeah.
So like when, you know, if her song comes on, then it's like, oh, well, that's Diana Gordon. Like there's no question about that.
Distinctly.
And I think that's like, I like love that, because I think like what's happening now is like, there's a lot of artists that just sound the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so important to like have, you know, just be unique, be you.
Yeah.
And so that's why I love Mariba and I love Diana Gordon, because they're just not afraid. And Sabrina Claudio, like she's just her. She's just her and her beautiful, wholesome self.
Yeah. Sabrina Claudio's project was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Came out this year, right? Like
that
was really good. Yeah. No, I do agree with you about like artists just sounding the same. You know what I mean? Like, I think it kind of has to do with like fans not necessarily caring anymore like they used to.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Right? Yeah.
It's difficult. Yeah. Like, and what I've noticed is like the way to go about it with fan engagement and with building your base is like, it's gotta be a personal thing now. Like I literally am building my fan base, like each gig, like person by person, investing time in them just as much as they invest in me.
Absolutely.
And it's not a like, you know, have a song on a radio, have all these people show up to your show kind of thing. Like there's a lot of artists that have, you know, millions of plays on Spotify and they can't even sell, you know, like 50 tickets to a show.
Absolutely.
Right. So it's kind of, the numbers are kind of skewed now and all that really matters in the whole scheme of things. Mm-hmm. Like it does, the numbers are awesome.
Right.
But what matters is like, who's going to show up to your show? How many people can you get to a show? Yeah. Because that's what's going to sustain you as an artist.
And I think that's why like a lot of artists are trying to do that like cell phone, like marketing technique a little bit to sort of develop a little bit more of like a personal connection with their fan base.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, that's like blowing up right now.
It is. It's kind of,
even though it's not even their real.
Yeah, exactly. most, I mean, sometimes they go on IG and they're like, oh, I'm going to take this screenshot of me texting like three people, which means like, I'm going to text everybody.
Thousands.
Exactly.
Like, oh man, like Brent Faiyaz did it. And I'm like, oh God, like I can't even imagine how many people texted him. Like
Doja Cat did it.
So she's actually someone that has been inspiring me lately too.
Okay.
I just listened to her project and I'm like, holy shit. And I'm like obsessed with like finding out the like artist stories.
Right.
So she's actually been like signed since she was like 17, 18. Yeah. Like she's been through it in the music industry. And so I'm so like, I'm really happy she's having this moment, because I didn't know that. And I think she's incredible. I think she's sexy. I think she's real.
Yeah.
Her lyrics are fearless and they're vulgar, but in like this, like F you kind of like, I'm just me way.
Yeah.
So I love her. Yeah. Like,
no, she definitely has like a, like, I'm just so amazed that she can just go on live, create a beat, and then record a whole song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's
talent.
Yeah. That's, she's a huge talent. I just don't know how she does that. And Tory Lanez, well, he doesn't really do that. He kind of just like records in the booth.
Yeah.
Like, eh. But yeah, I was gonna bring up a point, but I think I completely forgot what it was.
Oh, that's okay.
It's all good. It's okay, all good. All good. We can. What's your album of the year? Actually, I wanted to ask you that.
My album of the year.
Since we're coming up towards the end, of 2019.
I'm trying to think. I mean, honestly, I know it was just recently, but Summer Walker's Over It. Like, for me, that really stood out. But I gotta say, like, I think maybe Norman fucking Rockwell. Can I swear?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely, absolutely. No, you can.
Lana Del Rey. Yeah. Like, everyone was just, like, shook by that project. Yeah, like, I still listen to it on repeat. Yeah.
So, no, like, I haven't gone back to it recently, but that project fucked me up when I listened to it. I was just like, what?
I was just like, that was incredible. The first project I've heard from her where I was like, I love every single song. Mm-hmm. I downloaded every song and I listened to every single song back to back. Like, I didn't skip any. Yeah. I didn't delete any. Like, it was just, it's such a fully formed project. Right. And like, I'm like, that's where I want to be at, like, you know, 35, like, I want to freaking be there. I want to be like owning my craft and she's just killing it. But yeah, so I would say probably those two projects like stood out the most, like probably tied, because Summer Walker's project was just like, I feel like it was the same reaction from everyone. Like everyone was just like, wow, like here is this, like this artist and she just, encapsulates like something that I don't think anyone else does.
Right.
You know, like she's just so her.
Yeah.
And that's why like certain artists like Doja Cat and like, you know, obviously Sabrina Claudio and Summer Walker, like they blow up and they are them because they are so unique.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think that's like just so like I really like prize that in the industry. But yeah, so those two projects are probably what stood out for me.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to add to that and I guess comment how female representation in music, it's getting to a place where it's going to be a really good place.
I know.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's so amazing to see and just to have all these, all this amazing like creativity, coming from women finally being put in, being put like showcased.
Yeah. Put in the spotlight.
Like, put in the spotlight.
Yeah.
It's such an amazing, amazing thing to see. Yeah. Right. Like
finally.
Yeah. Like, That's what I really liked about that railway show that I saw you at the first time, because I think the future of music in this city is definitely going to be female R&B.
I think for sure. I think there's so many like artists, especially female artists that are bubbling up right now in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sure that it's not just going to be one person that puts Vancouver on the map. Like there's so many amazing artists here and we're slowly brick by brick building a platform for ourselves. And it's a beautiful thing to see all these like women artists come to the forefront. And really it's amazing because I do feel this sense of just like camaraderie and like just support. And I didn't feel that before. Like, I think, you know, as women, like we're really brought up to kind of compete with each other.
Right.
And now it's like that tone that has totally changed. Like now it's like, I like that, R&B showcase that you saw me at, like, I talked to every one of those artists after. And I was just like, everyone was so amazing and everyone was so supportive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I'm going to go see Triss.
Yeah. Shouts out to Triss.
Shout out to Triss.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go see her on the 29th. Uh-huh. She's performing with Tion Gibbs, who's, and also, you know, I do have to say like even more than just the woman, like this, the whole Vancouver scene, like there's Tion Gibbs, like everyone's starting to really support each other.
Absolutely.
And I think that wasn't the case before in Vancouver. Yeah. Like I've heard from every group and kind of crew I meet up with in Vancouver, everyone says the same thing. Like, oh man, like, you know, like it's just whack here. Like it's just like not good vibes. Like no one supports each other. No one collabs. Right. No one works together. It's all competition. And I do feel like that's changing.
I think those barriers are like starting to break down a little bit, and those standards.
Yeah.
And I think people are just starting to realize that oh, hey, we can accomplish a lot if we work together.
100%.
And this territory that I have doesn't matter at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Because like, we're trying to elevate it to
exactly.
that
and
global
it's,
scale.
We have to do it together because it's like, it's not going to be just one person. Like
no,
maybe one person
not.
Will lead the way, but
definitely
then it's going to be like, bam, bam, bam. Like once the spotlight's on Vancouver, it's like, wow. Like,
there,
and not even just R&B. There's like some incredible folk singers, some indie rock. Like we got everything.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of time before it blows up. But I am really, really happy to see that it's kind of like female, you know,
driven,
led,
like,
female
at the
driven.
Forefront, at the forefront.
That's how it should be, man.
Yeah,
it's our time.
About time, right? About time. And that's the thing. I think like next year we're going to, and like in the years following, we're going to even get more of that. Yeah. I don't think female representation within music has peaked yet.
Oh, hell no.
Like,
no,
I mean, it's only been a year where sort of female representation, or maybe like a couple of years where it started to be on the upside.
Yes, I agree.
So, I mean, yeah, no, there's like a lot of time where
there's
men were just very dominant
in
the music.
Oh my God.
Or I guess
in every field.
Every aspect of society and humanity, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's about fucking time.
It is about fucking time. Yeah. I'm ready for it. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, oh my God. Thank you so much for being on the pod. Really appreciate you being a part of this interview. Hope you enjoyed the vibe of everything. And
I did for sure. Yeah. It was an amazing experience. Yeah.
Absolutely.
This is awesome.
Yeah. Do you got any shows coming up?
I do. Yeah. My big show is December 2nd at Fortune.
Yeah.
I'm going to be opening for an amazing UK artist, Movi.
Movi, yeah.
And Glass Forest is also going to be performing. Mm-hmm. It's an early show, so I'm on at 8:20.
Yes.
Which is actually kind of good because it's a Monday night.
Right.
So, you know, the people that work the next day can actually come see me instead of having a midnight show where they can't come out.
I found, I think I went to another showcase on like a Monday and like people show up.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like,
oh my God.
Especially since it's like a weekday and midnight Mondays happens at Fortune.
Yes.
So people are just like, oh, let's pull up like early.
Exactly.
Go through this whole thing. You know?
I actually performed a Midnight Mondays before I went to the States, and it was bumping. Like
for real.
I was like shocked.
I've never been
night.
To Midnight Monday. I've always wanted to go.
I see
videos of it. I'm just like,
it was intense.
Crazy.
People were getting down.
Yeah.
Like it was such a vibe in there. I loved it. So this is going to be an earlier show. Yeah. So December 2nd. Yeah. And then we have some other shows, but that's kind of like the main one.
The
right
main
now.
One. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, hit me up for tickets if you want to come.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. Hit up your girl, Jade Monet at Love Jade Monet.
Yes. At Love Jade Monet.
Love Jade Monet. Do you have any projects in the works? Like, do you have an album that you're planning as well? Or
I have lots of music like that came out of the LA trip. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually just cleaning up like all those songs. I don't even know how many songs came out of that. Like I've got
how many songs you record?
Oh, well, the thing is, like, I didn't, I'm still finishing in the recording, but we, like, wrote the songs and got, like, the scratch vocals and stuff down. So I don't even know, probably, like, 12 songs.
Right.
So, and then plus there was music that I was working on before.
Right.
So right now I'm probably have about, like, 15, 20 songs.
Okay.
That I'll probably just pick a handful of, a handful to... Mm-hmm. to maybe release. And we're probably going to just do some singles and then we'll see where those take us.
Right.
I don't want to put like the kind of like limit on myself to be like, okay, I have to make a project.
By like March.
Time.
Or
March
2020. That's when I'm dropping my project.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going with the flow at this point. I'm like, okay, I'm on a wave and I'm just going to go with the flow.
That's the thing. You already know that works best for you, right?
Exactly.
So might as well lean into that creative process.
Exactly.
So thank you again. Thank you so much for like getting on this thing. Hopefully I'll get to interview you again.
Oh, I'm sure.
Around the drop of your next project.
Yes.
This was a lot of fun.
Yes,
so,
agreed. Yeah. Big things ahead for both of us for sure.
100%. 100%. So subscribe, like, comment, all that good stuff. Check out Jade Monet on IG. Do you have like a YouTube page as
well?
Yeah,
do you want to
plug in?
Yeah,
like,
I'll plug it
real quick.
So all my social media platforms and YouTube, everything is at Love Jade Monet. My project Awaken Dreaming is available on all streaming platforms. And yeah, I think that's kind of it. I have some new music coming. There's always going to be more shows. And yeah, it's a really exciting time for me. So I would love to see everyone, you know, out at my shows and stuff. Show that support to your girl.
Pull up. Yeah, no, you're constantly working at your shows, and it's really amazing and inspiring to
see. Thank you. So. Yeah, and you know, I just have to say quickly, like, I feel like the vibe you saw at Railway with me, the bassist Chris Wong and Jasper, the guitarist, is like, we had only, that was our first time playing together. We had had one rehearsal. But the thing is, we had fun up there. And the difference between, I feel like when you go see a good show, 100% of the time, it's because the artist is, you're smiling and they're enjoying themselves, and you can just feel it. There's like this unspoken thing where you walk away and you're like, wow, that was like insane. But if you think about it, it's because the artist is enjoying themselves.
Right.
And I love performing just as much as I love to sing, record, write. So for me, my live show is so much of the package. So if you have a chance to come out, please do.
Please go.
Because it really just, you know,
like encapsulates the whole thing. So check her out. Please go to her live shows. I cannot stress how amazing that they are. Thank you. Yeah, December 2nd and also November 29th for the 100 Fest.
Yes, celebrities on the 29th.
Yeah,
it's gonna be
hit up Tris for tickets. I'm gonna be helping out with that. So
I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be a bumping night.
Yeah. It's going to be, it's going to be fun.
Everyone's going to be there.
Everyone's going to be there. So yeah. Looking forward to your performance there in that venue.
Oh, well, I'm not performing that night.
I thought you were performing that
night. I'm just supporting. Gladly going just to support.
Okay, fair. All right.
Yeah. So I'll be singing in the back. I'll be in the back singing along to their songs and stuff.
So if you want to meet Jade, she'll be there on the 29th. So.
Exactly.
Salute. This has been Interlude Interviews with your host, Naoto Wakabayashi, and I'm signing out. Thank you.
Bye.
Peace.